Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. As you read Genesis 5 and 6, you'll find that the times were so wicked and so violent that it repented God that He had made man. God actually thought, I should never have made man. And you almost, it doesn't say this, you kind of get the idea if God's thinking, I wonder if in making man I made a mistake. Now, we know God doesn't sin. We know everything is, God knows it all. But there is regret when God in Genesis 6 looks at the wickedness of mankind. God was so angry at the wicked violence of man that He said, I'll just kill everybody and start over. Matthew 24, verse 37 says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. God makes reference to the days of Noah before the flood, wicked days, four times in the Bible. Four times to the days of Noah. And in our text, Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So listen closely. The wickedness of Noah's day did not stop Noah from having faith in God. As wicked as it was, the horrible sin of Noah's neighbors did not stop him from having faith in God. The fact that things were so bad that God was going to destroy Noah's city, his state, and the whole world didn't stop Noah from having faith in God. I think America's hurting. I think the world's in a horrible mess, and I think it's getting worse. But I don't think any Christian needs to quit. I know Obama damaged our country. I'm so glad Hillary isn't president, and I'm glad the wickedness of the Clintons is being found out. I think it's going to be exciting when they get put in prison, if that ever happens. If they wanted to save the trial money, just shoot them. It'd be cheaper. But anyway, those are nasty people. Nasty people. There's plenty in this world, if you looked at it, there's plenty of wickedness and sin and garbage to lead you to jump off a bridge. I believe we should use the space grace that the Lord has given us with President Trump being our president to live for God and serve Him. I think we ought to be thankful for that. I never had confidence in Washington, Congress, or the Senate anyway. Noah should encourage all of us. Because he looked past the wickedness and hopelessness and violence of his day, and he had faith in God. But Noah had faith. By faith, Noah. Noah's example encourages me that these are exciting times to live for God and to serve the Lord, and no one should lose their faith in God. I think our country has lost its mind, personally. And since common sense is no longer so very common at all, it seems God has given over America to a reprobate mind with the filth and the garbage that is America's involved in. I don't care if you want to go to the media. I don't care if you want to take any angle. And it's corrupt. The socialism, let's take the economy. The socialism of our economy is evidence. 34% of America was on welfare in 2013. That's more than one-third. Where is the money coming from? You can't keep doing that. The system was put in place by FDR to break us. And it is. It is. It is. The system was designed to destroy us. That's socialism. You understand? The system eventually implodes. It's not going to work. However, let me take another. Take the morals of Washington, D.C. We're 40 miles south of Washington, D.C. Did you know? Do you know what the average murder per day rate in Washington, D.C. is? 3. We're right above Chicago, which is 2 murders a day. Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway, 3 murders a day. We're 40 miles from that. Then, if problems stir your heart enough to go to church, then you find carnal, worldly Christians doing things they shouldn't be doing, listening to music they shouldn't be listening to, talking about things they shouldn't be talking about. So you think, well, it'll be better at church. It's bad in the world, and it's carnal in the church also, in churches. All of this could make you lose your mind and give up, but watch, Noah didn't give up. In days worse than you and I live in times where people were worse people than you and I deal with, God tells us, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. It had never rained or flooded in Noah's day until the flood came and covered the mountains of the earth and the whole earth was flooded. There had never been death and destruction of the human race like there was after Noah got on the boat. There had never been that on the face of the earth. When God told Noah to build an ark because it was going to rain for 40 days and nights, Noah had no point of reference. We would say, if God told us that, we'd say, oh yeah, that happened before. About, 4,500 years ago. Yeah, God led Noah through that. Noah had nothing. Noah had no point of reference. He had nothing to look to. He had no pictures. He had no museum to go to believe what God was telling him. He just trusted God. There was nothing for him to read about because he didn't even have a Bible. All he could do was believe what God was telling him. Noah had nothing to look to, but Noah believed God. We have things to trust God for. You say, okay, well, that's similar to Noah. Then how does that make... Okay, we kind of have some same things. For instance, would you think with me about the rapture? The rapture is going to happen. In the twinkling of an eye, everyone knows that Jesus, everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. There's never been anything like that in the history of mankind. We have nothing to say, oh yeah, God did that several thousand years ago. He's going to do it. No, God's never done that before. So guess what we have to do? Believe God. We believe God that the rapture is going to happen. How about this? How about the tribulation period? Jacob or Israel's trouble? 21 judgments poured out upon this earth in a 7-year period, and 3/4 of the earth's population is going to be killed. Nothing like that has ever happened before. Nothing like that. There's never been anything like it in the history of the world before or after it. Hitler wasn't that bad. Stalin wasn't that bad. Mao Zedong wasn't that bad. World War II wasn't that bad. Vietnam wasn't that bad. Riots in America weren't that bad. And the Great Depression wasn't that bad. Concerning what is coming to this world, you and I have nothing to compare it to like Moses did. Like Noah didn't have anything to compare the flood to. All we can do is believe God. It's going to happen. God told Noah what he was going to do to the world and the human race, and all Noah could do was believe God's spoken word. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. Let me give you a few more examples. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's true of heaven and hell. Our minds cannot conceive. We can dream and fantasize about heaven and picture it, and it's in your wildest dreams, you cannot picture how beautiful heaven is. And in your worst nightmare times 50, you cannot imagine the sufferings of eternal hell. Your mind cannot conceive it. The glories of heaven and the damnation of hell, both of them, our minds. Closest thing I ever saw, it was so disturbing, I walked into a demon-possessed person's house one time. This was about 12 years ago. The paintings on his wall, I had never seen a house decorated like this. Of course, it was a single guy, and it was spooky going in. We got his address, and we were going to visit him. The pictures on his walls was of all these people being held down with scorpions and bugs with stingers, and the people were screaming, and he had like blood spattered on them, and I just said, ugh. Why would you? That was the cold. When I left his house, I was like, I'd never seen any. These paintings were huge. I'd never seen people that had put things on their wall about other people suffering, and it wasn't even people torturing people. I thought it was demons. I'd never seen anything like that before. Reason I'm telling you that, do you believe that people who die without Christ go to hell? I'm so thankful that only with my eyes I will see hell one day and hear their cries and see them scream for one drop of water, but praise God, I'm never going there. I believe it's a real place, and I believe it's going to happen, even though I've never seen heaven and I've never seen hell, and there's nothing for me to compare it to in anywhere on the earth. Look at your Hebrews chapter 11. Look at our text verse, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I wish you'd underline a couple of words. Here's one of them. Moved. He moved with fear. So he doesn't have a Bible, and he's told by God it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, and he is moved with fear. Now, listen closely. A lot of church people believe what I just preached and told you about. You say, preacher, I believe the Bible. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. And they believe that there's going to be a rapture at any moment, but it doesn't move them. It doesn't move them. What made Noah different was what he believed moved him to action. It moved him to action. People believe there's going to be a tribulation. 7-year period of suffering and God's wrath on this earth. And they believe, well, I don't want my friends and family members to go through it, but it doesn't move them to get people saved. It should move you. Noah moved. He didn't just get the facts and the information. He got moving. If the truths of the Bible don't move us to get out and get busy for the Lord, reaching people and going soul winning, we're no better than a moose lodge or a lion's den or any other community service. What we know about the eternal Word of God should move us to get people saved, like it moved Noah. If the truth, okay, we are His workmanship, created unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. We have a Bible. Noah had no Bible. We should be moved much more than Noah was. And they say, well, with technology, now the Bible can go around. We're doing less for God now than we were 150 years ago with missionaries on ships. Well, with technology, I'll agree. You can do a lot with technology. I'm not seeing a whole lot done. People aren't getting saved like they were 150 years ago. Missionary, you read, I told you one where he gets on the ship. R.A. Torrey went down to Australia. 3-week meeting. 10,000 people saved in 3 weeks. That was one meeting. He had like 60 of them. He went on a worldwide crusade, landing at ports and preaching. When was the last time you heard of that happening? It's been a while. Noah moved with fear. Hebrews 11:7. Ready? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Here's another word. Prepared an ark. He prepared to the saving of his house. Noah, by faith, Noah moved, and by faith, Noah prepared. Listen closely. Noah worked every day like what God said was going to happen was really going to happen. He did this for 100 years. It took him 100 years to build the ark. So every day he prepared because of what God told him. Every day. For 100 years, Noah did something to prepare for the days he was sure to come. Now, Christian, let me ask you a question. If you know the rapture could happen at any moment, if you believe that, if you know the tribulation is going to happen, if you know saved people go to heaven and you know saved people, lost people go to hell, then child of God, do you get up every day and build and act accordingly and do something because of what you know? Does the truth you know move you to action to prepare? To prepare. If you say, well, I wouldn't know what to do. I don't know how to serve the Lord. I've never done that before. Okay. How many arks were there on the earth when God told Noah there's going to be a flood? Zero. How many collections of two kinds of every animal were there in the world for Noah to go look at in the world? Zero. When God told Noah to build an ark, Noah didn't know the first thing about building an ark. There was no hardware store. There was no boatyard. There was no experienced shipbuilder to ask. For 100 years, Noah got up every day and said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me and guide me and direct me and show me. And a man who had never built an ark before built an ark. And a man who had never sailed a ship before sailed one for 6 months. This means you could be a witness for Jesus Christ if you got up and asked the Lord to help you do it. I've never done that before. Neither had Noah. This means you could build a Sunday school class if you just got up and asked Jesus to help you do it. This means you could invite someone to church and have fruit that remains if you would just ask Jesus to help you do it. You could pray and say, Lord, I don't know how to serve you any more than Noah knew how to build an ark. But Lord, you helped Noah, and I'm just going to trust you to help me to do something for you. By faith, Noah moved and prepared. There's not a person that was good at door knocking the first time they went out. If you'd have seen me the first time I went soul winning. First time I ever gave out a gospel tract. Scared to death. Hiding behind a drink machine in a Marine Corps breakfast, chow hall. 5 a.m. I had wept the night before. God had broken my heart. You selfish. I'm not kidding. God rung my bell. You've never witnessed to anybody. You self-centered, selfish. People dying and going to hell because of you. I wept all night long. I said, God, I'm gonna do this. I didn't have at the time. I didn't have a pastor to ask help me. I had some gospel tracts. I went down to the chow hall 5 a.m. There was only 2 Marines in there. They had just went through the chow line. They're sitting all the way across the chow hall. There's a drink station, and I'm sitting here in this booth. I said, I'm not going to eat until I give these gospel tracts out. So I was looking under the drink machine at them. They were over there talking. I was scared to death. I did it all. And finally, here, I'd like to give you guys invite me to church. We have a great service center. Love to see you guys here. Thank you very much. Oh, Pastor, you're a natural soul winner. I'm nothing naturally. If you'd have seen, I don't care if you'd have seen me pass out my first gospel track or if you'd have seen me knock on the door for the first time. I was a stuttering mess that needed God. And the only reason I've learned what I've learned is because I learned I needed the Lord. I'm no different than anybody else. There's not a person that was an expert in the bus ministry the first time they visited a bus route. There wasn't a Sunday school teacher who knew exactly what they were doing the first time they taught a class. There's not a person working with young people or serving on a deacon board who knew what they were doing when they did it for the very first time. We don't have professional sound people running our PA. We have men who were humble enough to be willing to learn. That's who runs our PA. Where'd they get their degree in digital technology? Nowhere. They just wanted to serve. Is it scary up there? Yes. The pressure is on. But they're willing to do it. Everything, this is life. Take any sport, fishing, hunting. Everything in life takes the spirit of try. I've never done that before. Welcome to life. Welcome to life. Just when you get the hang of raising kids, they're going to leave. You know what I mean? Huh, got it down. All you hear is crickets. Talk to any parent. God will use you as much as you want to be used. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. You say, that's talking about money. That's talking about anything you want to give God. Your money, your time, your talent, your treasure, all of that. Anything you want to give God, it's if you want to be used. Someone would say, well, Noah didn't do much good. Only 8 people were saved. Everybody else was destroyed. Have you thought about that? Everybody here tonight, we're here because Noah trusted God. Have you thought about that? We all go back to Noah.
Well, Noah didn't do a whole lot of good.
You're a dum-dum. You haven't thought that one through. No, we're here because Noah trusted God. Then listen closely. You're not going to know all the good you did until after the rapture, because where we're going, there's no lost people. Look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and then watch this, by the which, last word, he condemned the world. If you underline that word, condemned. He condemned the world. By faith, Noah moved. By faith, Noah prepared. And by faith, Noah condemned the world. When you, by faith, trust God's word and let it guide your life, when the world says, oh, everybody drinks beer, and you don't, you made that a lie. No, everybody doesn't drink beer. When the world says, no one goes to church faithfully anymore, and you do, that puts a stop to that lie. You're condemning the world by your righteousness, by your faith to go forward in life and live for God. When the world says, oh, everybody has sex outside of marriage, and you don't, that puts a stop to that lie. Amen. When the world says, no one believes the Bible anymore, and you do, that puts a stop to that lie. Noah said to a wicked world, you don't have to be wicked. Noah said to an ungodly world, you don't have to be ungodly. Noah said to a world filled with violence and depravity to the point God was going to destroy it, Noah preached, you don't have to be the enemy of God. If we don't win Mechanicsville to Christ, I want them to know everybody's not an adulterer and everybody in Mechanicsville isn't a drug addict and everybody in Mechanicsville isn't a sex pervert. Everybody doesn't cuss and swear. I want them to know everyone is not out of their mind. Has anybody looked at the drug overdose just in our county? It's mind-blowing. Talk to those with the scanners, the calls. Drug overdose. It's huge. It's huge. Sometimes it's death. Sometimes it's a hospital, honestly. But it's absolute. It's amazing. The drug epidemic. Just that's one aspect. One aspect. Everybody in Mechanicsville, I want everybody to know, everybody in Mechanicsville isn't on drugs. Everybody who is 60 years old and older cannot believe what has happened to America. Take your Bible and go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and just listen to me. We'll end with this scripture. We were at Hebrews 11:7. I'd like you to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Listen, in the 70s, if you said, I need a gospel tract for homosexuals so I can cut through their problems and use Bible verses and scripture to help them, there wasn't a church with a homosexual tract in the 70s. It wasn't an issue. It is now. If you would have asked in the 70s, this is only like 40 years ago. If you would have asked in the 70s, preacher, do you have anything on Islam? Because I've got a Muslim person that I'm trying to witness to, and you know they need to know about the Koba and the, you know, the Quran, and then what's the difference and all that. In the 70s, you couldn't have found, it wasn't an issue. There was no material on Islam. There was no material on homosexuality. And there definitely wasn't any material on transgenderism. Things have changed. Things are not the same as they were. Now, there's boys and girls in the schools who don't even know what bathroom to go in. That's demonic and sick. When I was growing up, you could ride your bike all day long, leave the house in the morning. We rode bikes without helmets. Amen. Okay, if you would have rode a bike with a helmet, you would have needed the helmet to protect you from the rocks that were being thrown at you.
Retard.
You know, I mean, I understand. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying we rode bikes all day long from morning. We left the house. We would take our bikes down the railroad tracks, killing everything in sight, running over whatever you wanted, you know, shooting the BB gun, you know, on the thing, doing it all, going to the pit. The pit was a gravel pit that was as tall as this building, and then we would come jumping off it, you know, and then you crash. Then you come walking home, scraped up and bleeding. We could stay, where are those days? I'll tell you what, we could ride our bikes from morning and come back at supper time at night and mom never worried. You can't hardly let your kids play in your own front yard now. Child abduction, all that stuff, pedophilia, all things have changed. Things have changed. Look at Noah, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ready? and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, I'll end with this verse tonight. I'm almost done. Just listen. God used Noah to open his mouth and tell people what was right. The people just didn't know. Noah said, this is what Noah said, the Bible is right and you're wrong. Noah preached, what you're doing is sin and God hates sin. The people may not have listened well, they may not have responded well, they may have made fun of Noah, but Noah let them know. He was a preacher in public. When we would preach on the street corners in Chicago, folks, the Bible says Jesus is coming. Are you ready? He was a preacher of righteousness. Not everybody listened when we preached on the street. These perilous times we live in, where there's so much dark apostasy in liberal carnal churches, and all the people are growing up on TV and Hollywood and who don't know right from wrong, they need you to preach God's righteousness. The most important thing we do here at Gospel Light Baptist Church in our service is soul winning and knocking on doors. It's the most important thing we do. By faith, Noah moved. By faith, Noah prepared. And by faith, Noah condemned the world. Tonight's sermon is called Moved with Fear by Faith.